We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is the John Chuckery Show. Back with you here on a raw Monday night. Hanging out with you for the full four, as always. Asking to download that radio.com app. Why? Well, we know you want to listen to the radio station, but you're not getting a chance to spend as much time in your car as what you used to, so make sure you have the radio.com app handy. We ask you to download that on your device. You've got your smartphone. You've got your Alexa speakers. You got your tablet. You've got your boombox. You got your Commodore 64, your Intellivision, your Coleco. Whatever you got for device, watch, I don't know. Just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us when you're on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms there. As always, the best way to be a part of this particular show, you want to do that through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He's back in Midtown. He's back after his nice long weekend. Back down at it. Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Lots to get into with you tonight. We actually had an Atlanta team play over the weekend on Saturday. Now, maybe not the result that we wanted. It was going to be hard-fought. Still, that streak of never having beaten the New York Red Bulls continues for Atlanta United. But not a lost cause. I mean, it was a good match, and you know, we knew Atlanta United would have some things to work on. We knew that Atlanta United had a lot of new faces and a lot of new pieces. And, you know, of course, the Yosef Martinez injury changes up the dynamic. I thought PT played much better in the second half. You know, maybe they have to try to find some ways to get him going a little bit more in the first half. I thought their defense kind of let them down on that, you know, on that goal. I mean, early on in the match, you saw where, you know, New York was able to get behind the Atlanta defense with just, you know, one or two passes, and, you know, guys were running free, and, you know, Guzan played really well throughout the match, really, even especially in the second half on some of those, and just, you know, some missed shots, a shot off the bar, and just, you know, a few things that just didn't quite go Atlanta United's way. But all is not lost, and there's still a long way to go in this season, and they still have to get their feet underneath them. So we'll talk to our buddy Kevin Egan, of course, the play-by-play voice for Atlanta United for Fox Sports South. We got a chance to talk to his co-worker, Jillian Sakovitz, on Friday. Now we'll talk to our buddy Kevin Egan coming up at 8:20 tonight. Also, too, the Bulldogs making some news today as they got some good news at the quarterback position. Our buddy Roddy Nabolsi from UJ Sports is going to join us as well. We'll talk to him this coming hour. Little Bulldog football is, yeah, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with everything. You know, a lot of topsy-turvy stuff going on. I mean, I don't know what to make of it at this point. I mean, I don't. I mean, I don't know. People are acting like they're surprised that people are testing positive for coronavirus or COVID-19. It was going to happen. I mean, I kept saying that, you know, the doctors that said people are going to get it, you know, whether you get it now or get it later, when are you going to get it, the people that were susceptible to it. But I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously most of the Power 5 conferences at this point have decided that they're going to go to just a conference schedule. So we'll see what the SEC decides with all of that as well. So we'll talk to him coming up this hour as well. All right, a couple of the things that I want to get to tonight. So Jarvis sent me a text a little while ago. We got some good news on some stuff we've been working on here, having a little bit of fun, of course, in the pandemic without as much sports activity going on, still kind of waiting for everything to kind of kickstart. Finally got Atlanta United, got a few more nights before they play again. Braves at the end of the month. So tomorrow night at 9:20, we will talk to the founder, the enforcer. Oh, yeah, WWE Hall of Famer, founder of the Four Horsemen, Double A, Arn Anderson. And, hell, as I'm sitting here, when Jarvis texted me that, hell, I start putting up four fingers already. I started putting up the four. I'm putting up the damn four fingers now. I don't care if anybody likes it or not. I'm putting up the four. Nothing like the Horseman. And I've said before, my favorite Horseman is the original Horseman. Give me Tully, Arn, Ole, and Rick. Not Barry Windham, Sid, Lex, you know, all the, you know, incarnate. Hell, at one time they had Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko in the Four Horsemen. Are you kidding me? Give me the original four guys, man. Nothing better than those four, man. And Arn is still, to me, and of course you see him on Wednesday nights, he's kind of the coach, if you will, of Cody Rhodes. Funny to think about Arn Anderson coaching up one of Dusty's kids, if you remember. I think it was in the Omni, right? Wasn't it in the Omni when Arn and Ole broke Dusty's arm? Wasn't that here in the Omni when that happened? I thought that was, or didn't they also have a show? Was it the Omni where they had the show where Dusty comes back and was Dusty in the Road Warriors, where Dusty wears the Road Warrior face paint to come back to take on Arn and Ole and Tully and those guys? Just so many great matches with and by the way, the Brainbusters, Arn and Tully. And those guys are back in AEW, and Arn, of course, coaching Cody Rhodes. You see him on Wednesday nights on TNT, but so excited to have Arn Anderson on. He's doing podcasting now, of course. You hear him on Tuesday. So tomorrow morning, his latest podcast, Arn, on the Westwood One Podcast Network, drops as well. So will be a lot of fun. You know, we've been working on this for a little while and super excited to get another WWE Hall of Famer. Man, we've had a pretty good run of all of this. We've got a couple other things in the works, too. Got a couple other things going on, a couple other things we're working on. You know how we do it. Sometimes things take a little bit of time, so stay with us. Now, the main story today was the announcement of something that, you know, I'll apologize. And well, I shouldn't say, not so much you apologize, but just say I was wrong about something. Yes, 7:08 on July, what is today, the 13th? Mark it down. Chuck Reed was wrong about something. Something that I thought I would never see in my lifetime, to be real honest with you. Or at least as long as Daniel Snyder owned an NFL team. And that is, of course, the news today about the Redskins retiring their name and going with a new name, new logo, and all of it. Now, we obviously don't know what it's going to be. We don't know the timetable. We don't know when. Okay, so many details to work out. We got the internal memo the other day, and I said, I'll believe it when I see it. So I guess now we can finally believe it. And I'll be frank, and I'll be honest, I've said on the station many times before, I did not believe, as long as Daniel Snyder owned the Redskins, that they would ever change the name. Now, I did not believe. I guess money talks. I mean, I have to honestly think that it's the money. And whether that's, whether you want to live in this, what's that term? Is it transcendental, panthenical world or something like that? Like a fantasy world that, oh yeah, Daniel Snyder's doing it for all the right reasons. No, he's not. He's doing it because FedEx is pulling money. Owners are selling off their shares. That's why he's doing it. In a time when there's a lot of questions about whether or not there will be money to be had playing football, guys are protecting their investments. Right, wrong, or indifferent. You can say that that's narrow-sighted. You can say that's short-sighted. You can say that's insensitive. Fine. Put whatever labels you want on it. But the guy is protecting his interests and his financial investment. Now, I'll let you guys decide, is it racist or this, that, and the other? Because if it's racist, then how is it any more racist today than it was, you know, 100 years ago when they named the team, or 80 years ago when they named the team? How is it any different? The difference is the money aspect about what it costs to do business today. That's why it's changing. That's the difference. If you think the term is derogatory, it wasn't any more or less derogatory. Derogatory is derogatory. You know, you can't be sort of pregnant. Well, a word is either derogatory or racist or whatever, or it's not. There's not really a, you know, it's, if it truly is, then it shouldn't have to be interpretation. What was the Supreme Court's thing about porn? There's no real clear-cut definition, but you know it when you see it. If something is inherently bad, you know it when you see it. But until it actually hits your pocketbook, then it affects your decision-making. That's what this is. I'm not telling you that it's bad that he's doing it. I'm not telling you that it's good that he's doing it. It's his football team. Do whatever you want with it. They are still one of the best merchandise sellers in all of the NFL. They still are, like, literally the most valuable franchise, along with the Cowboys, in the NFL. So something of value is in that name and that franchise. Now, I have no idea what they're going to call it. I really don't care. I think they should go back and should they call it the Boulets? You know, this second time now Washington's changed with their team name. Remember, the Bullets became the Wizards, right? Or as Jim Rome would always call them. And always, this always cracked me up. The Washington Boulets. I like that name. Call them the Boulets. But there's been all kinds of things thrown out. I don't really care. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't really care what the new team name is. I could really care less. I did like the one that what was it? They had the airman from World War II. That was it, the Warhawks or something like that, right? So you know, we had like the Tuskegee Airmen. There was the black fighter group in Washington. I think during the Second World War, right? Was it Red Tails? Was that what it was? Red Tails. Red Tails. Okay, that's a pretty cool name. I could be down with that. And I saw like the airplane logo and stuff like that. Okay. That's pretty cool, and it honors something good. I'd be fine with that. But I don't. They could call themselves, you know, the Ham and Eggers. Call themselves the Washington Ham and Eggers. Call them the Washington Fish Heads and Rice. The Washington What's a Matter Use. I don't care. I really don't. At the end of the day, it's not my team. I root for, not the team I have emotional investment in. But I know it's a big deal to folks and stuff, but I'll be honest with you. I did not think that we would ever see this moment, at least in my lifetime, or at least for as long as Daniel Snyder owned the Redskins. I did not think that there would be a point where they would be willing to change your name. But it proves that money talks. Proves that everything is about money. We'll talk in What's Bugging Chuckery tonight, you know, about money because, you know, you want to know all the reasons why sports is trying to come back? Yeah, you know, it's not your emotional well-being. It's not this. It's not that. It's money. This is what people do for a living. This is the money that they're looking for. This is the money they have to survive to operate. And Daniel Snyder's looking at it from my financial thing. And I guess FedEx said they're happy and they're looking forward to continue their relationship and this, that, and the other. I don't know about the three minority owners. I don't know where do we stand on all of that. So listen, It's a historic thing. It really is a big deal in the world of sports because, like I said, that this is one of the most successful, most well-known, recognized NFL franchises in history of the league. Still one of the best merchandise sellers in the NFL, top-tier merchandise seller. They move a lot of memorabilia, okay? So it is a big deal that is changing. And, look, we'll see what the name ends up being. I would think that this has got to happen pretty quickly, right? Or are they going to go this year under the Redskins name? I have not seen, like, the details of do they expect to have this all done. Because think about all the changes, uniforms, marketing, fields, this, that. Oh, there is so much to change. You talk about changing name and logo like that, plus approval in the NFL and everything that goes on with it. All right, when we get back, let's rank the four pro coaches by who's going to win the chip the first. We'll talk about that next. This is John Chuckery Show. Back with you on a Raw Monday, Sports Radio Nights on the Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on a Raw Monday, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can leave us a comment there, especially on this list that we're going to be asking you here. Give us a shout on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Also, too, don't forget the radio.com app. Have that downloaded. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. So, you know, as we're watching Atlanta United, and of course, you know, there's certainly going to be some, you know, transition from what we were used to you know, what this team may or may not be. I mean, obviously, without Yosef, it feels like, okay, maybe we're another year away from winning another MLS Cup. And certainly the Braves are going to be one of the favorites in the National League. We talked about last week, last Friday, actually, when the MLB win totals came out on the two kind of main simulated sites, and they still had the Braves, you know, second in one, and I think it was, what did I say? I think they had the fourth most wins in another from there. You know, pressure on the Falcons this year. People think that Dan, you know, if he doesn't make the playoffs, could be fired. And then, you know, obviously the Hawks are in transition. So, you know, I've asked this question before, but given the state of where we're at with Atlanta sports and given kind of some of the transition and obviously the flux of what is happening with COVID-19 and everything surrounding it, if I said rank the professional coaches, so that's Coach Pierce for the Hawks, Dan for the Falcons, Snitker for the Braves, and Frank DeBoer for Atlanta United. If I said rank them by who's going to get this town its next championship first, what would the order of that be? I think for me, I think it's Frank DeBoer 1. I think it's Dan 2. I think it's Snitker 3. And I think it's Coach Pierce 4. Now, why do I feel that way? One is, I think Frank DeBoer is going to get all the resources and support and players that he needs to go win another championship. That I think, and I'm not saying the other organizations won't do that. Braves, to some degree, maybe, won't spend like you need to spend at times to get, you know, and make the moves necessary. But I do feel like with Bocanegra and with Darren Eales and with Arthur Blank, they're willing to roll the dice on guys and do what they have to do, whether it's Barco, whether it's PT, you know, whether it's making trades, whether it's signing guys, you know, to extensions. I mean, whatever they, you know, giving Yosef a bunch of money in extension, whatever they feel like they have to do to make this not just a competitive team, but a championship caliber team, I think they will do that. I think that they will allocate the resources for it. Does that make Frank DeBoer a great coach? I don't know. I think the jury's, you know, out on that. I think this will be an interesting season. just to see how this team responds to all of the adversity, right? Because there's a lot of adversity. It's the pandemic. It's Yosef, right? I mean, it's all these things about, you know, a start and a stop and a start, you know, to the season. All the things in the adversity that's facing all Major League sports teams. But, you know, how does Atlanta United respond to that? Still lots of talent on the field, and they still have made a lot of investment in this team. So I'll take Frank one with it. Dan, I say two because they've got the personnel. They really do. They have the personnel. In my mind, they have the personnel for what it takes to put together a championship team. At times the Falcons are going to have to win despite the lack of Sunday competitive advantage that you get. See, I say all the time, I think Dan gives you an advantage, you know, and it does a lot of good at times through Monday through Saturday. My question is, on Sunday, how does it go? And history says, it's not always good. But they have some of the best players in the history of the franchise. And I keep saying to myself that this will come together and this will culminate when they were so close just a few years ago. That why can't they? There's nothing that says they can't get back to what they did just a few years ago. That they're not worse personnel-wise than they were a few years ago. Go look at the roster then. Go look at the roster now. You not only have some of the same guys, but Grady and Debo are both better players today than they were on that Super Bowl team. Matt and Julio are still in their prime. Jake Matthews is a better football player than he was on that team. Now, Alex Mack isn't as good, but I think that there's enough that the good overweighs the regret, you know, the positive overweighs the regression in that. The reason I have the Braves in third is because, and you know, you can direct your hate text at me at 404-741-0999 or at JMCH316 on Twitter. I don't think Snitker is going to pilot this team to a championship. I have my issues with. I think Brian Snitker is a terrific manager. Game 1 through 162. I think when the heat gets turned up and you have to manage in a phone booth, I don't think he gives you any advantage. And the reason I say that is because I saw it for so long here. I saw it for so many years. There's no reason that the Braves shouldn't have multiples of trophies. They spent all the money, gathered up all the players, had a great farm system. There's nothing about the Braves that didn't do. The Braves were willing to spend money. The Braves traded for whoever they wanted. The Braves, you know, had a great pipeline of prospects. There was nothing about the Braves organization that was lacking, from spending money to making trades to, you know, having a farm system. They had all of it and didn't capitalize. Now, look at some of those teams, you know, in 96 and 2003 and, you know, you look at some of those teams, 98, look at some of those teams and you scratch your head and say, you know, how did Sterling Hitchcock beat that? How did Russ Ortiz celebrate on the field? How did Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor celebrate? Yeah, short series, you know, anything can happen. So I just don't trust the top management. I don't trust the manager. I don't trust the organization at times to allocate all of the resources that they say that they're willing to do. They say that they're willing to do it. But look at where the Braves rank in payroll. Look at their reluctance to make some big splashy moves. Look at their reluctance on some of that kind of stuff. Say what you will, but it was a coup to bring Greg Maddux in. And they would always go find Russ Ortiz, Danny Nagel. They always go find that guy that they needed to go get. You know, Andres Galarraga, Fred McGriff, Mark Teixeira. They're always willing to go make that big move as they needed to. They don't do that now. With all due respect to Marcell Ozuna, that ain't McGriff and Galarraga. You know, it's a nice move. Where's the Mookie Betts's? You know, where's those guys? Where's the Nolan Arenado? Where are those guys? They don't seem to do that anymore. And Coach Pierce, I just think that the Hawks have a ways to go. I just think that in the NBA shuffle, they've got a ways to go to build that roster to tell me that they can win 16 playoff games. Hell, I'd be happy if they won 16 regular season games, you know? The idea of the Hawks being ready to win 16 playoff games, I think, is a ways away. I think it is a while. And I don't care about draft picks and this, that, and the other. You know, you've got to go get some studs. You have to go get at least one more stud. Not pretty good player, nice guy, stud. You have to have one of those kinds of guys at least to go with Trey and Collins. Yeah, they're putting some nice pieces together. Herter and Capella, and yeah, it's nice. You're talking about that team ain't ready to win anytime soon. 16 playoff games. 16 playoff games. I keep going back to that number because that's how many you have to win an NBA title. You not only have to, you have to be a really good basketball team to win 16 times in the playoffs. So I think they've got a ways to go much further than the other three franchises that are ahead of them. Jarvis, I asked you for your list. How did you rank the four coaches?
So I actually kind of catered my list to like more towards the short term than long term. So obviously, with that being the case, number four would definitely be Lloyd Pierce. I think they have some good young pieces, obviously, but I just don't think Lloyd Pierce is going to be around to see those guys start to come into fruition. You know what I mean?
I think that. If this team really got good, it'd be the Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr thing.
Yeah, somebody, a veteran coach that has been there, done that, and has some success in this league. Not to go against any Pierce's coaching ability. I just think that for what this team is going to need to be able to get to that next level, I think it's going to take that veteran coach, a guy who's been there before. So, and with that being said, I'm number three. I have Frank DeBoer. Reason why I put him there is because I just don't know what the team is without Joseph Martinez. I don't know what they're going to look like. Obviously, we're going to see, you know, as the season goes on. But I just don't think in the short term that them not having Joseph Martinez is going to have a long term effect on them. So, and we won't even see what that looks like once he's back to next year. And then there's the coming back off an injury. So I think that's going to push that potential championship further out than what people may expect. And then, as my number two, I got Dan Quinn and Atlanta Falcons. Because, obviously, with the veterans that they have on the team, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Dan Quinn getting there before, having that taste of it, and trying to get back, I think the sense of urgency is there. Just from a, hey, I might lose my job type situation. So I know there's something there that can possibly get them there in the short term. And I know all hell going to break loose when I say this one. You know who's left. Brian Snicker and the Atlanta Braves.
Listen, here's the thing, Jarvis, and I'll say it like this. I don't put Snicker because the Braves lack talent. And I keep saying this. The Braves don't lack talent. I mean, our teams in this town don't lack talent. I mean, maybe the Hawks, but the Falcons and the Braves don't lack talent. They have the best young player in baseball. They have one of the top players in all of Major League Baseball, in Freddie Freeman.
Indeed.
They have lots of pieces, but they've had pieces for 27 years, and it only materialized once. And that's my concern is, you know, we joked about, you know, the manager who pitched Charlie Liebrandt in game one of the 1991 World Series over his 20-game winner
is
the same guy who pitched Dallas Keuchel over the guy that finished third in the NL in ERA last
same
year.
Same dude.
It's the same mentality. And I look at their payroll and I look at their you know, what the way they try to sell you on, well, yeah, look at, you know, we added all this payroll. Yeah, because you had $39 committed. If you have nobody committed, because you have to add, that's like the Miami Heat when they brought LeBron, those guys. See, we added a bunch of players. Yeah, because you only had three guys on the roster under contract, and one of those guys you end up trading away. So, yeah, of course. And that's my problem with the Braves is it's not the talent aspect. It's do you trust that guy to win multiple series and push the right buttons and take that team to the next level? I hope, because they have the talent. They're not lacking for talent.
And I'll go ahead and say this, though, as far as why I put them up there is because this is something different. This is not a 162. This is 60. You know, you got 60 games, and I know the decisions you make during the season are going to matter a little bit more, but it also means that talent is going to win. And when you're talking about a shortened season, it's going to win. And that's what I think that talent can carry them through and kind of hide some of those situations, even in the playoffs. Because, like I said, shortened season, some teams might not necessarily get in. The Nationals might not even get in because based off of what they showed us last year early on, they stunk. And they were able to figure it out in the 162. But in a 60-game season, that talent, more than likely, that talent is going to win up.
Well, and I know we got to get to break. We got Rodney Nabolsi coming up next, but yeah, I don't. It's not that this team is not talented enough. I just when I look at who do I trust in the quickest. Unfortunately, I just every time I watch Snitker, in one of those, managing a phone booth situations, which is what the playoffs is, short series and all, just doesn't work itself out. All right, we'll talk some Georgia football as they got a big announcement today as well. Rodney Nabolsi set to join us next. John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back with you here on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Raw Monday. 404-741-0929. That is, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to leave us a comment there. Some folks commenting about our coaching list that we had in the previous segment. Hit us up on Twitter as well. Stations at 92.9 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. And, of course, don't forget your radio.com app because that's how you listen to the radio station outside of your vehicle. Well, UGA, some big news today. Of course, SEC also meeting today with their athletic directors as we try to figure out what direction the SEC is going to go. Here to help us talk about the latest Georgia news, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, publisher of UGASports.com. You see him on 11 of Live as well. Rodney Nabolsi is joining us. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Rodney Nabolsi. As always, Rodney, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So, Roddy, we got the news today. JT Daniels will be eligible, five-star quarterback transfer from the University of Southern California. You know, obviously good news in the sense that he can, compete and practice and all that and be a part of the team this year. We know Kirby loves a competition. Realistically, though, if I threw a Wonder Woman lasso of truth around Kirby and said, is Jamie Newman your guy, what do you think his answer would be?
I mean, if you had a gun to his head and they're threatening his children to give you an answer, in that situation, he's going to say, whoever wins the competition. I mean, I hate to say it, and I hate coach speaking
to the
next person, but that's exactly what he would say because he's going to say, look, I'm not going to guarantee anybody a job. And, I've been covering recruiting for, we're covering the team since 1993. You've been covering recruiting for the last 12 years. And we always hear the kids say, well, the coaches promise a fair competition and a fair chance to start. Very seldom do we ever have a kid say that to us, and we believe it more than when the kid says, well, Kirby Smart is going to give me a chance, and he didn't promise me anything. Because a lot of kids say that they weren't promised a starting job, but then you find out when you talk to them in the NFL, they're like, oh, yeah, I went to school X or school Y because they told me I started as a freshman, and I did. You don't get that with Kirby Smart. You have to win that spot. And when he says all positions are up for competition, he means it. Go back last year when you had an offensive line that was set, and he said the only person whose job was safe was Andrew Thomas's. Didn't matter all the other guys that were going in the first, Isaiah Wilson, who went in the first round, didn't matter that he was Isaiah Wilson. His job was up for grabs. So if you ask Kirby Smart right now, hey, who's going to be your quarterback? He's going to say, whoever wins the competition. That said, Jamie Newman is the odds-on favorite. That was the plan from the beginning, and this is just a great insurance plan for Georgia right now. Can JT Daniels beat out Jamie Newman? We'll see, but I don't think it's going to happen yet. But if he does better in practice, he will win the job.
So let me ask you this, Roddy. I mean, and this may be the uncomfortable question that some people are going to say. Let's say JT Daniels does beat out Jamie Newman. Coming off the heels of Justin Fields and such, supposedly a new offensive coordinator brought in to kind of change up the dynamic of this offense. Do you think that Kirby Smart would start to get a reputation of, okay, we hear a lot of promises, but we don't see a lot of delivery on modernizing and changing up the offense if JT Daniels does come in here and win this job?
It won't matter because let me put it this way. If Kirby Smart starts JT Daniels and they win, it doesn't matter. If they do that and then they lose, yes, then the proof's in the pudding. You tried sticking with a conservative offensive philosophy. You brought in a guy who is, by all means, you know, a dual threat style offensive coordinator. I mean, he showed what he could do at Southern Miss, you know, with a dual threat guy. And don't forget, Jim Chaney could call a dual threat defense. I mean, a dual threat offense. So could James Coley. But you only get to call the plays that your boss approves. And when you have a defensive minded coach like Kirby Smart, he says, no, I don't want us to do that. I want us to stick with, you know, a pro style ball security offense. You know, let's run the ball. Let's build a team to keep the ball on the ground, you know, more often than not, and throw it when the defense has to stop the run. So if he wins that way, then he's proven correct and all the detractors, you know, have nothing to complain about. If he goes that way, goes conservative, if you will, you know, without going the dual threat style, and loses, then people are going to say, look, he's stubborn to the point of not being able to let his team win the big game. So the proof will be in the pudding, but I think it's just they can look at his we can all guess his tendencies or his rationales or his proclivities, but the win-loss record is what ultimately tells the tale.
Publisher for UGASports.com, Rodney DeBalsi, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You know, obviously the SEC met with the athletic directors. They had kind of their conference, you know, coming off the heels of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. And this is fascinating to me about where this is going to go. I mean, think about all the tentacles. I mean, Hawaii lost its first four games of the season, doesn't have a game scheduled now until October 3rd. I said the other night, Roddy, when the Big Ten made their decision, that the biggest loser in all that was the MAC. They had 11 games scheduled with the Big Ten. And now you see that the Southern Cal Alabama cancellation, because Southern Cal's not going to play in Arlington, Texas, that's costing Alabama at least $6 million just by not being able to show up at that game. Do you think the SEC goes conference only? Would they do something regional? What do you think the number one football conference hotbed on planet Earth decides to do for this season?
I think they're basically their hand's going to be forced, because I imagine the ACC will probably go conference only before the SEC does. And there's a lot of, you know, ACC-SEC crossover, you know, with Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida, Florida State, Georgia, I mean, South Carolina, Clemson. So when you start pulling out those games, all of a sudden everyone's saying, look, we're doing something safe by going conference only. What are you doing, SEC? And it becomes a situation where even if the SEC athletic directors feel that, yes, you know, we're comfortable in this, everyone else has gone conference only, so, you know, we're almost forced to do so. And if you're in a situation where, well, we still have a few of these out-of-conference schools, but like with Alabama losing that big a game, maybe the SEC wants to replace it with another SEC team, and now you're trying to look in the East and go, well, who's available that week? Now, this, you know, Kentucky has so-and-so. Georgia's playing, you know, the following week. What about Florida? You know, it's a lot easier if you know that all the only games they have scheduled are conference games. So I can definitely see the SEC going conference only. They have discussed it. They've discussed moving it back. They've discussed it adding conference only, you know, more additional conference games. Last I heard, there were 12 to 13 different scenarios pushing the season back a couple weeks that, you know, because think about it, they've had months to do nothing but brainstorm possible ideas in case there was a rebound or a second wave or whatever you want to call it. So now it's just how feasible are these? And I do want to point this out because a lot of people didn't realize this. All the conference commissioners were in a gentleman's agreement to wait until later in July to announce what they were going to do. When the Big Ten went conference only, that caught a lot of conference So a lot of athletic directors and conference.
Yeah, they were caught off guard by it so quickly.
Caught flat-footed. They didn't expect that to happen. So I don't say people are playing catch-up, but it's almost as if they weren't ready for the Big Ten to make that announcement.
Last thing for you, Roddy. Doesn't it seem kind of strange, and I'm not saying that this is the exact scenario, but doesn't it seem kind of strange that the SEC or any conference, let's just use the SEC, would tell you that Georgia going to College Station, Texas, is a safer proposition than going to Atlanta, Georgia, where there's two teams in that city, or going to, you know, South Georgia to play, you know, Georgia Southern. You know what I mean? Like, it seems weird what we think about our definitions of what is safer when you think about, you know, some of the travel that's involved in the SEC versus look how many schools just within the state of Georgia, you know, are Division I caliber schools that could round out a schedule for them.
Yeah, I mean, we're much more likely to lose the Georgia-Georgia Tech game 60 minutes away and keep Georgia-Missouri, you know, 727 miles or something like that away. So
right. It's,
you know, that's how it goes. But it comes down to when you say what's safe. It's keeping it simple equates in a lot of minds to keeping it safe. If you know that the testing protocol at Missouri is the exact same one at Georgia, and you know that if anybody tests positive, the isolation protocols are the same at Tennessee as they are at Alabama, as they are at Florida, then you've got it. Now, you could look at what the ACC is doing, and when you're Georgia playing Tech, or when you're playing school, and you know, say you're playing Georgia Southern, and you can say, "Hey, what are your protocols?" You know, and now you're trying to compare and contrast. Is that safe enough for my guys? Whereas, if you're keeping it within conference, even if it's across the country, you know, you fly out there, you're going to have the same protocols for everybody who gets on flights, everybody who handles your baggage, everyone who provides your team meal. You're going to have the same protocols everywhere you go. So I could definitely see a situation where they feel that, look, uniformity trumps distance.
Follow him on Twitter, at Roddy Nabolsi, of course, a publisher for UGASports.com, and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Roddy, appreciate it, man. Boy, it's some fascinating times and fascinating to watch, you know, this play out. So looking forward to talking to you again, and safe and be well, my man.
I have one more thing I'd like to add real quick, if you got a second.
Yes.
Go back to JT
Very quickly,
Daniels.
Go ahead.
I want to remind everybody, real quick, JT Daniels, remember, he reclassified. He wasn't supposed to come out in his freshman year, and he was still the number four player in the nation behind Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, you know. Mm-hmm. So he was actually supposed to come out the following year. If he's number four a year early, what would he have been like if he stayed in high school one more year? So, yeah, I think the news of getting him eligible today was very big for Georgia.
Oh, I agree. And I know Kirby loves the competition. Appreciate it, Roddy. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, my friend. Take care.
You got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, Clemson asked an interesting question about football for this year. I'll ask you. I'll answer. I'll let Jarvis answer. We got answers. May not be the right ones, but we got them. John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio, Nights in the Game, and on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.